Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Who wins? Who knows? We now find ourselves at a point with 6 rounds remaining in the home and away season where any team between 2nd and 13th could make the 8. And then, could we be having one of those seasons where anyone within the 8 is in with a big chance? Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and on this week's show, Glenn McFarlane will join me to discuss just that, as well as the Pies and how they're now looking likely to miss out on the finals. And Chris Kavanagh has the latest draft news out of the recently completed under-18 national championships, including the wash-up from a controversial end to the Vic Metro and Vic Country final. But let's get into it with Macca. And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast today, it's Glenn McFarlane who's back in the chair. G'day, Macca.
Andy, how are you?
I'm struggling to tip.
You sound confused.
Well, I am a little confused because I don't do...
Now, I know why you're coming to me. When you're saying struggling to tip, you've come straight to me.
Well, you are the expert at struggling to tip.
Correct. That's what I was going to say. I'm glad you actually read the Herald Sun Tips this panel. Oh, can I say, in my own defence, I did win it last year, but I have had the greatest premiership hangover you have ever seen. Thank God for Robbo, who's probably holding me up, and Kiss of Death. I'm on good terms with Kiss of Death. He/she is coming for me as we speak.
Yeah, well, I think with 6 rounds to go, I think you're pretty comfortable.
Yeah, maybe. But, it's been really tough, hasn't it? It's been the ultimate snakes and ladders season. Had a chat to Kevin Sheedy a couple of weeks ago, and he said that. He said, it's snakes and ladders. That's what it is. It's just, you know, one step up, you know, 3 steps back. And that's the way the weekend was when you look at, you know, teams like Essendon, Frio, Carlton, who had gilt-edged opportunities.
Absolutely.
And then blew it.
Well, they all should have won, really, shouldn't they? So, I mean, you look at Frio should have beaten Hawthorn. They were, at times, they looked fantastic.
Kicked themselves out of it.
Carlton should have won. I mean, Essendon, if you only watched the first 20 minutes of Essendon Melbourne, you would have thought, 10 goals.
Yeah.
I was worried. As a Melbourne supporter, I was very worried.
I'm starting to get a bit excited about Melbourne. They're back in the hunt again now, aren't they?
Well, but and then next, you know,
then it gets a bit tougher.
Could lose by 10 goals to Frio. You just never know. No. It's funny, a couple of weeks ago I was talking to my dad who'd seen a lot of footy and we were talking about this season seems like one of those missed opportunities. If you don't win it, it's a missed opportunity for every team. Like, say, 1990 was.
Yeah.
There were a lot of teams who could have won that Collingwood.
Who won that year again, Andy? Sorry.
What happened in 91? But we can talk about that later, Macca. 2016, it was one of those
years. That's the one I was going to say. That's the one that I remember. It was one of those years, wasn't it, where you know, the Bulldogs came from nowhere. The Bulldogs, we'd given up on the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Scrape into the finals and then go on that wild, wild run.
Well, beating West Coast in Perth in an elimination final.
And Hawthorn had won 3 in a row and then they beat Hawthorn at the MCG. Yeah. And
GWS. So any of those, I feel like looking at the ladder now.
So who can't win it, Andy? Who can't win it?
Richmond and North.
Well, you look at below. You're ruling the line at Hawthorn.
Absolutely.
Underneath Hawthorn can't win it. We know that for sure.
I know the Suns can't win it because they seem to only be able to win on Carrara on the
Gold Coast. Suns can't win it. I don't think Hawthorn could win it given that they're going to have to play a lot of catch-up, but you'd want to buy some shares in them for next year and beyond.
Certainly, and unfortunately, like when you look at it, they are a game and 10%.
Yeah.
Or 15% behind GWS, who are in 7th now. Yeah. So they're really going to have to win every game and win by a good margin.
Well, it's funny. I reckon 3 weeks ago I sat here, it might have been 4 weeks ago I sat here with you, and I said there's 3 teams that can win it.
Yes.
Sydney, Carlton, Collingwood. Well, maybe. I don't think Collingwood can't make
the 8.
Well, they're $3.50 to make the 8 now. So that's they've got a really tough run home, so that's going to be a difficult one there. Carlton can definitely win it, but, gee, they lost an opportunity to really – and I think, to be honest, I think this golden ticket – for particularly if you're a Victorian club, to finish second is so important. You finish second, you're not travelling anywhere if you can win those first two finals, because you know that Sydney are going to probably win their first two finals as well. So you set yourself up in a grand final against Sydney at the SCG, at the MCG. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
I think Brisbane are the Brisbane are the team.
They're the team.
Coming, and they've been coming for a couple of weeks now, or you know, over a month. And, you know, they just lost the grand final, had a little bit of a hangover. They have all the weapons, and Lachie Neale seems to be – I mean, if Lachie Neale is never – he's never not in form, but he seems to be
Imagine if he could win three Brownlow medals. It would be – because he's back in the hunt now. Like, I think a few of the other – well, we know that Isaac Heaney can't win, but there are others who are probably – Nick Dacos is still getting a lot of disposals, but he hasn't hurt the last few weeks as well. So he's got to be some sort of chance if he can get some votes early. And I think you're right. Percentages don't lie. They've got 120% Brisbane, so they're coming from a long way back. But they have the second best percentage in the competition at the moment behind Sydney. Percentages don't lie. It says that they are a really powerful force again.
And they're only half a game out of second. So that is made up pretty quickly.
Big game this week for them though, isn't it? You look at the Gabba, you're hosting Sydney at the Gabba. We're going to learn a lot on Sunday, aren't we?
I think we are. And the odds are pretty even. Like people are tipping, well, you know, Brisbane are a
just
really
go the opposite to
shot.
Me, Andy, and you'll be okay, I'm sure.
Macca, they, as we said, there are, you know, anywhere between second and 13th can make the eight.
Absolutely.
Probably anywhere between, goodness, I mean, anywhere in that realm can probably make the four almost.
Yeah.
But it is pretty incredible to see that we are so even. I remember I sat here with Sam Landsberger maybe 3 months ago, maybe, you know, around seven or eight, and he said, oh, goodness, there's a lot of have-nots here. We're going to have a lot of junk games coming to the end of the season. And it really flipped on its head.
It has. And, you know, that's the beauty of footy, isn't it? I think, you know, this is going to be a season that, as you say, I think a few clubs will go. It's different if Sydney come out and blow everyone away in the finals and you go, well, okay, they were the best side in it. They're, you know, and that shows with how many games they've won. But if it's a tight, you know, fight to the finish, a few clubs will go, geez, if we just had been able to get on that roll a couple of weeks earlier or not miss that game, there's a lot of missed opportunities that are going to hurt big time.
Yeah, for sure. And there's going to probably be narrow margins for making and missing the eight too.
Well, it's going to be one of those. We'll bring it back to the round 24 Sunday game. We've had a couple of great Sundays where we've been, you know, sweating on who gets in, who doesn't get in, the swings and arrows of outrageous fortune. I think we're going to get that again this year.
Absolutely. And, you know, that the final round is looking enticing. You know, Brisbane and Essendon, Melbourne and Collingwood.
It's a good final
Bulldogs
round.
And GWS, Frio and Port. Like there's some finals changing.
Yeah.
But we could see, you know, look at the live ladder in that last round and we could see teams just jumping up and down.
We generally have the round 24 fixture now in front of us.
Yeah.
You can understand why the AFL, as much as people are getting a bit twitchy about it, they're holding back because they want to try and load this up as late as they can to make sure that it is a grandstand finish.
Now, Macca, I mentioned Collingwood
before.
Which team?
Collingwood, sorry.
Collingwood, yes, I mentioned Collingwood. Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life in Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm back with Glenn McFarlane and Macca. The Pies, I hate to say it, are they at risk of missing the eight?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. As it sits right now, they're not playing finals at this stage. They're the sort of team you'd never write off, I think, in that situation. But they are as vulnerable as they've been in Craig McRae's tenure. And mostly it's to do with injuries and, you know, a lack of manpower in a lot of ways. But it's not all to do with that as well. It's the way they're playing. It's their structure. Is the list as good as we thought it was going to be? I think there's a question mark there. They've lost a couple of key players, as we know. Certainly one of them is not coming back, Nathan Murphy, and that has completely restructured their defence and put a lot of pressure on guys back there.
They wouldn't have planned for it either. So it's probably similar, you know, if you look at the way Melbourne had to restructure the midfield.
Absolutely.
With Angus Brayshaw.
It took a while.
It did take a while, and maybe even the midfield could be slightly different because you do have, you do move them in and out. But when you're talking about, you say, two or three key defensive pillars, you lose one of them, geez, that really
It does.
Makes it difficult for everybody else.
It does, and I think they're easier to play against now, and you could never say that about a Craig McRae team, that they're easy to play against. You look at the way Jeremy Cameron was talking about how to play Collingwood last weekend after the game, the uncontested marks, the keepings off. They went to school on what happened against Essendon the week before.
Yep.
And so it says to me that they're a little bit easier to play against the Collingwood in that sense. And they've got a lot of work to do. We know that they backed up 2010 with a grand final performance against Geelong.
Yeah.
1990, it was the hangover. They had the hangover early and finished with a charge. This is the opposite. They had the slow start and then a really good period, and now they've lost the last three. So a good look at the list is, and look at their run home. Let me just take you through their run home, Eddie. You tell me how many you think they're going to win here. Hawthorn in the Jack Ginnivan Cup.
Jeez, that's tough. Hawks are a favourite. I mean, I think
it's a line ball game.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Got a question mark on that one.
I think if you lose to Hawthorn this weekend, you can almost write it off, surely.
Yep, I think that's right. Richmond?
Yeah, it's a
win. You give that as a win. Carlton?
Carlton wins that.
Probably a loss.
Yeah.
Sometimes things go weird in those Collingwood-Carlton games. Sydney up there, that's a loss for me. Brisbane here in Melbourne?
I think it's a loss.
Yeah,
the way
there
Brisbane
you go.
Are playing.
And Melbourne in the last round.
Collingwood got the wood over Melbourne.
Say if that's a win, Richmond's a win. And even say that Hawthorn is a win, I think they still miss the eight.
Yeah.
They got
a relatively low percentage, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's been carved into in recent times, so that's the thing. Not that they've been absolutely flogged, but the last few weeks have really hurt in terms of, you know, scenarios there. And they've got a lot of players who are out of form at the moment. I mean, what happens with the skipper, Darcy Moore? He's really struggling at the moment and needs a big scalp and needs a big win. So, yeah, there's some issues there. I'm not saying, they won't bounce back, but they've got a lot of work to do.
Certainly. And, I mean, if they do scrape into the eight, geez, that 1-point win over North Melbourne coming back from 5 weeks ago.
How would this be if they made it? I'm just throwing this little scenario at you. Essendon finished fifth.
Yeah.
Collingwood finish eighth.
Wow.
Who are you tipping in week one of the finals?
Collingwood.
How would that be if Essendon then had to, come up against the Pies, having not won a final in 20 years?
How does that Twitter account or X account, how many days until Essendon last won a final?
Well, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? It'd be interesting. It'd be good theatre, let's just say.
But that's the thing. Like, the Bombers are under 100% now. They're only half a game inside the eight. We were talking top four at least, if not top two. They're not a certainty to make the eight.
They're not. But what I will say about Essendon is they're probably about now, maybe even one or two rungs lower than I thought they would have been. I think they probably overachieved in that. They've had a pretty decent draw. And they get some really winnable games. When I say Adelaide's a winnable game, that game at Marvel they should win on Friday night.
Certainly.
Absolutely. You lose that, then there's some real concerns.
Well, they could shore up finals in the next four rounds, because they've got Adelaide, Essendon, Fremantle.
Who was the one after, after Adelaide?
St Kilda.
St Kilda, St Kilda. So you think there's two wins coming up there.
That's at Marvel. Frio at the G.
Question mark. Give yourself a chance.
Exactly. And then Gold Coast at Marvel. Gold Coast
don't win away, do they? So even if they win three of those four, it puts them in a really good position there to launch.
But then they've got
launch.
Sydney and Brisbane at the Gabba in the final two rounds.
You wouldn't want to make
those two. You need to win even one of them to make the finals.
You
want to have your final spots shored up by round 22.
Do I trust them? No. Nope. But do I trust them more than I have in the past? Yes.
Okay.
So it's one of those scenarios where there's a little bit of element of trust there.
Yeah.
And they were beaten by a pretty determined, pretty good. I like the way Melbourne's going at the moment.
Yeah.
I like sometimes you lose a few players and you lose a bit of structure and you find a few players the other way. And I think we talked a while ago here about Trent Rivers and how he's been going. So
I remember when he was drafted and I think Melbourne supporters kind of thought he was the steak knives for the Luke Jackson. They thought, you know, we'll get Jackson and we'll draft Rivers as well because they played at the same junior club in Western Australia.
Yeah.
Jackson's long gone and Rivers is just flourishing.
Yeah. And he's I think people fantastic. Just wanted him in the middle and he wanted to be in the middle.
Yes.
And, you know, the loss of Petrarca has actually set that up in a sense. And I think he's there for good now, regardless of what happens.
Yeah,
so.
I agree with that. And I mean, Josh Barnes wrote about it in today's paper, but the return of Jake Melksham cannot be understated because he provides leadership.
Correct.
He provides contested marking
correct.
That Melbourne just hasn't had
correct.
In the forward line. So, yeah, I'm still sceptical. It's a tough run home. I'm sceptical that Melbourne will make the eight, but they'll give it their best chance, so that's all you can ask.
Grand final now. Let me just put you on the spot, and I'll give you mine.
Yep.
I'll give you mine. I'm going to go Sydney Carlton in a grand final the way things are going with Brisbane close thereabouts.
I'm going a Carlton-Brisbane grand final.
Ooh, I
think the Swans are playing a little above themselves, and this might come back.
Someone's
going to
claim them at the SCG up there in a final, aren't
maybe.
They?
Maybe. Or and see, that's the thing. If they get beaten in a elimination or a qualifying final, they'll have to travel in a semi-final.
In a prelim, yeah.
I don't think they can. Yeah, I think they're beatable.
There you go. Like it. So we've both got Carlton in there. That's a bit of a concern, isn't it? So,
maybe. Can I change my?
No. Stick to it.
And GWS aren't that are coming as well. So anyway, Macca, time will tell, as we always say. We'll speak to you next time.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Roe Webster, former Australian water polo player and three-time Olympian. The countdown to the Paris 2024 Olympics is on. Come with me behind the scenes as we meet Australia's greatest athletes, some of whom are preparing to bring their Olympic dreams to life in Paris and some who've done it all before.
I find myself searching for someone to tell me I can't do something because I will show them that I can.
What it would take for me to find focus, what it would take for me to be aggressive.
Search En Route to Paris, that's on with an E, in your favourite podcast app, and make sure you follow the podcast so you don't miss a single thing.
And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, I've finally been able to drag Chris Kavanagh into the studio because, Cav, the national championships are over.
Yes, absolutely. They finished on the weekend there, Andy. And Sunday, Vic Metro claimed its second title in 3 years with a win after the siren against Vic Country. It was quite a controversial finish there.
It was incredible. I saw the last 2 minutes highlights and, you know, that the mark in the goals or, you know, just in the between the point posts by Vic Country with 90 seconds to go. It was a great mark, or even if he didn't control it, went on to snap the goal. Everyone thought, well, it's over. The Country have won. And then the free kick, the 50-metre penalty, the kick from the goal square, it was worthy of an AFL grand final.
It was pretty crazy, yeah. Only a few seconds left. Clearance out of the middle for Vic Metro. Free kick on the 50-metre line for a throw, sort of a throw out of a contest there. And then a 50-metre penalty. Luke Traynor, who's normally an intercepting defender for Vic Metro, had gone forward and went on and kicked the winning goal to get Vic Metro to get Vic Metro up by a point. So, yeah, crazy finish there.
And it was, I must admit, the trainer's celebration was a bit over the top, given that it was just the goal square kick. It wasn't like he'd slotted it from the boundary 35 out.
Pretty easy one, but it was an important goal, obviously.
Of course it was. So. But these guys, the majority of these guys, you know, they celebrate the win or they commiserate the loss, but the next day their focus is turning to their under-18 Coates League stuff, and then to the draft later on. And some have the championships has sort of boosted their draft stocks, and some may have diminished their draft stocks. Where are we at in terms of looking forward to November?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think there was definitely a few that increased their stocks, in my eyes anyway. And we'll start with Murphy Reid, who's one of them for Vic Metro. He's a midfielder. He averaged 24 touches, 7.3 score involvements, really consistent across his four games. He probably pushed into top 10 or 12 calculations. The one on the weekend that lifted his stocks was Harry Armstrong. So he's a 195-centimetre powerful key forward for Vic Metro, Sandringham Dragons product. He kicked 3-2 in Vic Metro's third match against South Australia, and then he came out and kicked 5 goals against Vic Country on the weekend. Really strong contested mark. A lot of recruiters at the ground on Sunday would have taken some notes on him. He definitely moved up. Isaac Kakko, he's an Essendon NGA prospect. He's a really dynamic small forward from the Calder Cannons. He kicked 8 goals for Vic Metro across his 4 games. He's the best small forward in it, so he's definitely a first-round prospect. Toby Travaglia, who gave away that free kick to Luke Traynor in the marking contest at the end there, he really had a good tournament as well. Really liked what I saw from him. Joe Berry from Vic Country as well, he's another one, and a couple of interstate guys. Our Western Australian midfielder Bo Allen was really impressive, and as was Carlton Father Son prospect Ben Camporeale, who finished as the MVP winner for South Australia. Really strong in a different role as an inside midfielder, averaged 26.8 touches, 4.5 clearances, and had some real impact. So those were the guys who lifted. The guys who perhaps didn't have quite as good a tournament were probably the 2 guys that we talked about as being potential number one draft picks before the tournament, and those were Josh Smiley and Finno Sullivan. So Finno Sullivan missed the start of the tournament through injury, came back, was clearly a bit underdone, had some good moments but didn't put it all together in these last 2 games for Vic Country. And then Smiley had a fairly reasonable campaign, but he didn't spend all his time as an inside midfielder, which is his primary role, because Vic Metro were rotating around. And he spent some time forward and he had some good moments, but wasn't a standout performance that we thought he might.
So how much do recruiters, obviously it's important, but you know, there's still a couple of rounds left, and then there's finals in the under 18s for all the tournament, you know, the Waffle, the SA NFL, mm-hmm. and here in the Coates League. How much do recruiters, like if you have had a quiet tournament, like, and then you go on to star in the Coates League finals or whatever, is there going to be sort of some doubt in recruiters' minds, or can we just play it off as he had a quiet couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. Yeah, if these guys all have really strong finishes to the season, you know, Finno Sullivan, as we said, he's been underdone. He hasn't played much footy this year, so a couple of quiet weeks, if he has a big finish to the year, he'll still be right up there come November. But we like to see that from him.
And if he drifts in the draft lists, you know, maybe the pressure, you probably might enjoy having a little bit less pressure.
Wow, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Some players I'm sure would prefer to be drafted pick 7 than pick 1. So the Lark Medal is the MVP mm-hmm. Of the championships, and it's been won by some pretty impressive footballers over the year. Mm-hmm. How did we go this year?
Yeah, so we had dual winners this year in Leo Lombard, who's a prolific ball-winning midfielder from the Gold Coast Suns Academy. So he's a great prospect for them. I mean, the Suns got 4 Academy stars last year through the door, and they're going to get another.
Start in the VFL Grand Final last year.
He did, yeah. And he's going to go back and play some more VFL for the Suns in the second half of this year. So really exciting prospect for them. And then Harvey Langford was the other one. Tough on baller from the Dandenong Stingrays. He was really impressive for Vic Country and won their MVP as well. So another, you know, potential first round prospect there.
Fantastic. And you know, there are footy fans around Australia who, not just looking at the under 18s, they're looking at the 16s too. Mm-hmm. They're looking, you know, 3 years, who can we pick up in 3 years' time? The 16 championships have bobbed up a couple of stars as well.
Yeah, so the 16 champs wrapped up on the Gold Coast last week, and all the recruiters were up there as well for that. Cody Walker was the name everyone was talking about. He's the son of Andrew, who, of course, played 202 games for Carlton. He's a midfielder. He played for Vic Country and averaged 28 disposals, 7 clearances, 6.7 score involvements, kicked 2 goals across 3 games for Vic Country. So he finished as the 4th highest rated player at those under 16 championships, averaging 140 Supercoach ranking points. So he's draft eligible in 2026, so a couple of years' time for Blues fans, but certainly one to watch for that. And he's obviously a father-son prospect for Carlton, but he's also doing some work with Richmond's NGA Academy as a player for them. So very exciting.
Geez, that makes me feel old, hearing that Andrew Walker's got a son who's almost draft eligible. That's, that's a tough time for me. And close to my heart as a Melbourne supporter, Kalani White, mm-hmm. is looking draft eligible next year. Is that correct? Jeff White's son?
This year, okay. So he played, I think, only 1 game for the Allies at the championship. So, but he's looking like a player for them.
He's hoping. Cav, thanks very much. Don't make it such a long gap between appearances next time. We'll chat to you next time. That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and my thanks to Glenn McFarlane and Chris Kavanagh for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out for all the trade buzz from a huge Moneyball on Wednesday morning, Mick McGuan on Thursday, all the game coverage over the weekend, and then, as always, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. I'll catch you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.